This is not just another golf podcast. This is Golf Underground. This is Golf Underground. We just happen to be the third funniest podcast in golf. We interview PGA Tour pros, Hall of Fame athletes, rock stars, business leaders. Sure, we talk about golf, but we have fun. All right, let's do it. Welcome to Golf Underground. Now your hosts, Wardo, Sully, and MLB Hall of Famer, George Brett.
Hey, welcome to Golf Underground. Back in the stable, Wardo, Sully. We got the PGA Latin America Warrior, Mr. Brazil, Mr. Brazil, who we're going to have on our next program. We don't want to tease that up too much. And, you know, Wardo, over the past, I would say, 8 months or so, this topic always comes up that we're going to talk about today, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the NIL, the NIL. This weird ghost thing. I mean, and it seems that everyone we've spoken to, including the likes of Charles Barkley, had a hell of an opinion on his take, right, on just the way things have gone down in college sports. And so we figure, you know, there's knucklehead salespeople driving around in cars, right? There's losers who do nothing but listen to loser podcasts like us, and they're curious about this, just as we are. And so you had a good idea to have Chris Schumann, he's from First Team Sports Consulting, come on in and demystify this world of money, slander, crookedness. It's just filthy. And so maybe you can put a little shine on this for us. So, Chris, thanks for joining us. Well, you can't get
good to be here.
That
sorry.
Seemed,
that wasn't the at all.
God, listen, if you're going to be the jungle law representative of the NIL right now, I need a little more. All right. So, again, thanks for coming. So let's start right at the basics. If someone said, hey, what is this NIL thing? I hear it all the time. And frankly, when I'm with a bunch of guys, I have to act like I know what the hell it is. And I guarantee you there's more of those people than we talk about.
There's a ton more. And I think what we've seen is that this has been such a race to get NIL injected into the whole nomenclature of what college athletics is that folks haven't really focused on what the basics are. For the last couple months, I've spent time, even as recently as with the University of Connecticut, talking to their donors just about the definition of what NIL is before you're asking for contribution money or helping with an NIL collective or all of these other offshoots that have come into play. So the basic principle is that the NCAA, back in July of 2021, changed its course here and allowed student athletes to monetize their name, their image, or their likeness for commercial purposes without jeopardizing their amateur status. That's as simple as you can boil it down. It has turned into an animal in terms of what it has done to the recruiting process, the transfer portal process, this whole notion of what it has become really is kind of frightening if it's not managed right. But that's the basic definition of what NIL is.
Got it. So when this came out, I don't know, they've been talking about this for 5, 7, probably 15 years, but when you first heard rumblings that you thought this was going to be serious, were you for it, against it, or just kind of neutral on college athletes being paid?
For it, in terms of, you know, for the last 25 years, I've worked in college sports, working through NCAA infractions cases, compliance issues, things like that. And some of them didn't make much sense. If a student athlete wrote a book, he wasn't able to monetize that, or she wasn't able to monetize that work because of the fact that she was a student athlete. That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. In the direct pay-for-play instance, well, that makes sense to me. This is an amateur organization. You shouldn't be compensating someone because they won a golf tournament or because they scored 42 points in a women's semifinal game. But this notion of being able to monetize the celebrity or the NIL aspect of that that shouldn't affect the integrity of the sport aspect.
What prevented it from happening to this point? So no doubt for decades, people have already sat in this room and said there should be a separation. And the folks on the other side of the table saying, no, damn it, there shouldn't. What changed there?
I don't think it's different than what the International Olympic Committee went through in terms of modernizing the definition of amateurism and amateur sport. So there already had been, you know, a precursor to this where we allowed professional athletes to compete in international competition along those lines. So it was inevitable that this was going to come. It's just, were you going to go from straight amateurism with those real strict definitions and interpretations to having a team full of professionals? Well, that doesn't work in the educational setting. What's the purpose of having the University of Kansas affiliated with a KU intercollegiate athletics team if they're all straight professionals?
Right.
You lose the tether to the institution. And so in order to keep it in the realm of higher education, I think this is a good middle point, good stopping ground to allow these kids, again, to go ahead and monetize and deal with some issues here that their celebrity may afford them.
Thanks for joining the Golf Underground. Now, the Golf Underground is brought to you by Star Companies, KC. Experience a more energy efficient and comfortable home with Star's insulation services. Regain functional medicine. Feel better, function better, move better, and look better. Regal Distributing, specializing in the distribution of food service and professional cleaning supplies to a variety of industries. Cowell Insurance, providing brokerage and risk management services for over 25 years. Sono Orthopedics, care plans backed by research and clinical results tailored perfectly to individual needs. Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia, where you'll score a double eagle on your next car or truck. Sheridan's Unforked, eating good and feeling good. Lewisburg Ford, nobody sells more F-150s than Lewisburg Ford. And Celebrity Greens, put a custom PGA caliber putting green in your backyard for the ultimate golf experience. Now, onto the program.
So how does this jive with the transfer portal, right? Because it also gets convoluted. People, at least, you know, even I do.
Probably drives it even more, obviously.
But how are they related? So one, we know the transfer portal means, you know, I want to go to another school. And I don't have to jump through as many hoops as I maybe used to. And of course, we could talk a lot about that. But then there's the NIL. Are they tied in some way? You will jump because you might be making more money at a different school, one that perhaps would pay more. The collectives would be richer, a Texas A&M type, right?
It becomes part of the... I don't think it was intended to be part of the discussion, but it has become part of the discussion, just like what kind of sneakers you wore at one point, or whether you're going to go on a foreign tour to Spain, or whether you're going to travel via a charter airplane back and forth for your road games. This has just become yet another piece that the kid in the transfer portal is evaluating with respect to where they want to go. It's become very portable to use the portal worker.
Yeah.
The student athlete with that one transfer is making, in effect, sometimes a business decision. That part I do have a problem. You know, that's not what this was intended to be. It was not intended to go to the highest bidder or the collective that's got the largest ability to go ahead and create NIL opportunities for its students.
But how would they miss that would happen? I mean, it's...
Can I have another question?
Yeah. You know, it seems wild to me, right? I mean, let's be honest. We're going to pay the folks. Whoever has the most money, we win.
At one point, the way this was going to look was that there was going to be an independent arbiter who would look at all of these deals, and they would go through a market rate analysis. And if a golf company wanted to come to Kevin and say, we're going to pay Kevin in order to endorse our products, that independent arbiter would determine, based on social media pull, engagements, right, some kind of analysis,
right,
as to whether that deal was okay or not. When we got up to July of 2021 and this all goes into effect, that all went out the window. And so there was no market rate analysis that was going to happen. It was really left to state law, and then the NCAA having an interim policy that says, you know, this is going to be permissible, and if you've got a state law, you need to acquiesce to whatever your state law says. So a golf company now could come to Kevin and could offer him seven figures, and that would not be deemed to be impermissible so long as Kevin did the work that he was contracted for under that NIL deal.
And that auditor's job was to be the person who puts a real number to what that is, right?
Correct.
And so if you, again, this is a novice in this topic, which is me, you got to do a lot to get to your 7 million number. You've got to go to a lot of events. You got to sign a lot of autographs, right? And so it's just, it really is, it's foreign to me that they wouldn't spend a week in some room and really say that we can't do this unless there are objectives and tangible numbers. This is the value of an autograph. And maybe there's levels. Maybe there's ABCs. The Iowa girl, I mean, she's going to be in the A bracket. That autograph is worth a lot of cash, right? Someone else might not be. But even just having something to fall back on, I think, would prevent maybe this Wild West mentality. And
well, I think that, and you're kind of running across this, not to get too far out ahead, but a lot of these players that are three or four, maybe a four-star, they think that they're worth, this is probably for the next segment, but they think they're worth X, and Chris is looking at them saying, you know, you ain't worth that. And I think that there's, you know, the 101 part that kind of, I think that we all need to understand is, you know, the athlete gets paid to go do a car wash or show up at a car wash or do a commercial or do a radio slot. And that, and then I think there's a lot of other advancements or part B and C that you were kind of alluding to.
And the 101 piece that's the companion to that is that the athlete has to do something mm-hmm. for the money. There has to be a quid pro quo. So you can't just say, we're going to go ahead and give you this money. Mm-hmm. The athlete still has to perform a task or tasks in order to fulfill that.
Yeah. So you can't say that one autograph session that you did was worth $7 million.
I didn't say that.
So you can't. So tell me, how do you gauge that? Right. And I guess I look at it even, remember we did the Topgolf event, mm-hmm. and, you know, Coach Self had all his guys there. Well, no doubt that was checking a box, because you had to kind of be part of something. Mm-hmm. And I wondered even that night, you know, how many times do they have to check the box? Do they all have to check the same amount of boxes? You know, how objective is it? And you might not have an answer for it.
They've got to check the box. But what I do in terms of messaging with the athletes is to say, when I'm in with a team talking about this, is hey, these are professional issues now that you're dealing with. And so there are going to be times where Brian is going to make more than Kevin, and Chris may not make anything from showing up to that Topgolf event.
Mm-hmm.
And so you all need to know you're now dealing with big boy and big girl issues a lot earlier than they're perhaps ready. So there is the downside there that you're now giving a, you know, an 18 or a 19 year old issues for them to manage that they may not be able to be sure. equipped to go ahead and manage.
Or will not get that.
Potentially, or some of the agents and representatives that are in this game as well.
How do they find an agent representative? So let's say I'm a parent, my kid's a stud in high school. We choose a great Big 12 team to jump on. I know there's money to be had here. Who do I call?
There are a lot of folks that are affiliated with existing agencies that have jumped into this realm. There is no accreditation process like there is to be an NBA agent or an NFL agent. So that is a little bit of the downside here, is that some of the individuals who kind of operated in the shadows before NIL, those folks have now seen this as an opportunity to make themselves valid players in the space. Not saying that there aren't good people in there. There are. But I'm also not saying that everybody is virtuous in terms of their relationships with all these kids. You know, we will talk about the difference between what I call kind of traditional NIL, the kid who gets a deal to endorse a product, versus collectives and what collectives do for NIL opportunities. But I know some agents that are charging 20% to their clients for deals that the collective does for the athlete. And the athlete doesn't realize that the agent didn't do anything in order to procure that NIL deal. And they're going ahead and they're paying the 20% markup, you know, to their representative.
And they wouldn't have had to. They could have gone directly to the collective, who would have represented their interests.
In effect, the collective really is a talent agency. The collectives that I'm involved with, we have a simple talent agreement that we sign with the athletes that say, we are going to go ahead and we are going to leverage your NIL if you give us permission. And then on a deal-by-deal basis, we engage in kind of individual micro-contracts with them in order to say, okay, well, here's your job for April of 2023. Or here's a series of things that you can do for a corporate partner or for the collective itself.
Yeah. So is it, I know it's case by case, but is it like a monthly job, or like, hey, in the month of April, you got to do this appearance? Or is it a quarterly thing? Or is it just a one-off? All right, Sully, you got to be there on April 16th.
It's all of the above. I don't think it's healthy to prepay or lump sum pay a lot of these student athletes.
Yeah.
I think it's appropriate to have this be monthly, to say, okay, you know, you that we're not paying you anymore, or not giving you the opportunity to earn any more than a month. You know, you still have to have clawbacks in there. Mm-hmm. That you need to be eligible, and you need to be able to represent the institution. And that it really is a deal, an individual deal between the athlete and the collective in terms of what the expectations are and what the communication is. You know, if when I'm addressing those teams, I don't want them to feel like this is their coach's responsibility at all, because we put this as another thing that the coach needs to manage in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
We've got already playing time. We've got already the notion of competitive individuals. And now we've injected money into
this. Don't the coach and the athletic department kind of, by the rule, have to, you know, not be involved or dismiss themselves of the collectives and the pay for play type thing?
That's the reason why the collectives are established, is to be arm's length from the institution itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the thing, like the Williams Fund, and you know, for the people that when they're gifting, I think one thing that I've come across and heard is, you know, let's say you're a KU booster and you're gifting to the Williams Fund, you know, 100,000 or whatever the number is, and then you're turning over here and the NIL collective's coming to you for the KU collective and they're saying, hey, want you to gift here. Well, you're confused
mm-hmm.
on what's
right.
Do I give 200? And so sometimes I think this pulling from Williams Fund dollars, or could pull.
It would make sense, right? I mean, one would be for a building, I suppose, and the other one would be to put a good product on the field.
And that has become a challenge. Not only the potential bastardization of fundraising itself, but also, you know, if you're giving money to the Williams Fund, you as the individual or the couple, you've got a tax write-off. You've got some other benefits associated with that. Here with these collectives, these aren't charitable vehicles. So, you know, it is oftentimes difficult to make sure that the donor or the contributor understands that, you know, unless this is a business expense for a business to go ahead and say this is advertising or marketing dollars, this is just your generosity here that's providing money to the collective in order to provide these opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a commercial break. And this is really interesting to me. So what I'm learning is a collective like you really is representing three different stakeholders, right? The athlete, the school, and then the program itself, right? Am I missing anything there? So you're really running point guard and all of these things, but is one more important than the other in your world?
No, I don't think any of them are any more important than the other, because while we're arm's length in terms of the operational part of these collectives, I still want to be a good partner to the athletics directors, the coaches at those institutions, because if we're just going to go rogue, that doesn't do anybody any good here. We still want to be communicating, still want to be part of the thread of their institutional control.
Yeah. If it's going to work, it's a sales job in a good way, right?
It's a sales job. It becomes a little bit of a tedious job in terms of managing the quid pro quo aspect. It becomes almost a general manager's job in terms of looking at rosters and market rates and earning potential and what's appropriate here in terms of working with the collective to say, okay, well, we're gonna let's get in with this student athlete at X level.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an exact science, but there is some science behind it in terms of looking at data for a market that's been in existence for 18 months.
Wow, it's crazy.
All right, cool. So hey, we're with Chris Schumann, First Tee Sports Consulting. If you
it could be first tee because he loves golf.
He loves golf. And when I walked in today, you guys were talking about how you're going to get 25 extra yards. Stable.
We've been working a little bit, and he's going to just dive in on the physio side too, a little movement. And we did part one of his screen today.
He wants to know.
Yeah.
Once he gets you exercise, he sucks you into the stable. That's what he sucks him in, right?
All right. Again, Chris Schumann, First Team Sports. If you're an idiot on NAL, you're going to love this next segment. Come on back into Golf Underground.
Guys, as the male body ages, testosterone levels steadily decline, and your bodies become increasingly unable to produce healthy levels of the primary male hormone, testosterone. At Regain Functional Medicine, we can help you regain your quality of life with testosterone replacement therapy. TRT improves brain function, sleep cycles, heart health, performance, and overall body composition so you can feel better, function better, move better, and look better. Visit us today at ifeelmuchbetter.com. Regain Functional Medicine, with locations in Lawrence and Leawood. Regain is better.
Hey, Brian Sullivan here, and I've got a tip for you. You've got to head to Unforked. It's an amazing restaurant. What I like about these guys is they promise to buy and support seasonal, local ingredients first. And I love the fact that they source from smaller, family, GAP-certified or organic farms, prime-going regions, artisan producers. All I'm getting at is, if you like fresh stuff, Unforked is the place to be. And like they say it, fork or no fork, you can be sure you're getting the highest quality, socially responsible ingredients possible. And not to mention, it's delicious. So whether you're out south or downtown, stop by Unforked for a delicious and healthy meal. Sheridan's Unforked, honest, clean food.
Cowell Insurance Services is your leading program administrator for workers' compensation. They're dedicated to meeting the unique challenges of the insurance industry and assisting employers in reducing their costs. CIS has provided insurance claim and loss control services to various industries, including trucking, construction, retail convenience stores, and healthcare, as well as public entities for over 30 years. They work with both retail agents and industry clients, or a combination of the two. If you're tired of fighting the rising costs of premiums and claims, give Cowell Insurance Services a call. Their dedicated staff is ready to find you the best insurance option at the most competitive price. They can help to define or enhance your safety program in order to move you in the right direction in reducing your claim and premium costs. Contact Cowell Insurance Services today, 816-214-4070.
Hey, Brian Sullivan from the Golf Underground here with a little good news. And that good news is that even double-digit handicappers like me can occasionally make a double eagle. All right, maybe not on a golf course, but even guys like me can score when buying a new car or truck. I'm talking about two stores, two brothers, and four generations, treating customers just like family. And I'm talking about our buddies at Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia. With these guys, you'll always score two under, with double the inventory and double the customer satisfaction. That's the Bobsite Double Eagle. Now, Bobsite offers a wide selection of vehicles and promise to make the car buying process as quick and as hassle-free as possible. Now, whether you have poor credit, no credit, or maybe a first-time car buyer, you can trust Bobsite Ford. And Bobsite Independence Kia will get you into the car or truck you choose with professionalism and attention to your needs. So go visit our buddies at Bobsite.com, but only if you're looking for a vehicle that makes you feel like a U.S. Open champion. Brian Sullivan of Golf Underground with my favorite orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Kevin Witte from Sano Orthopedics. Hey, Doc, golf season's over. My back is killing me. I know it's football season, so you get a lot of kids coming in, blown ACLs, all sorts of body parts with problems. And then, of course, those baseball players. I know you fix a lot of elbows. Why is Sano Orthopedics the absolute best sports medicine orthopedic group in Kansas City?
Well, if you want to see the guys in town, have had the best orthopedic fellowship training in sports medicine, including training with Dr. James Anders and Dr. Larry Lemack, come see us. We individualize patients' plans to get them back to that activity and that sport that they love, and we actually care and listen to our patients and follow up with them, make sure that they're getting the results they need.
Okay, and so the three things that separate you: number one, best training; number two, you specialize in getting people on that field; number three, you're actually listen. Where can I learn more? Because you got me all in, and I don't really want to get fixed, but it's time.
At sanoorthopedics.com, 816-525-2840.
Hi, this is George Brett, Hall of Fame baseball player, and I've been playing golf for over 35 years. Hitting the ball far was never my problem, but the closer I got to the greens, that's when my problems began. When I wanted a golf practice area in my backyard, I called Celebrity Greens. They are the industry leader in custom-built synthetic golf greens. These championship-caliber, low-maintenance greens roll great, react like real bent grass, and hold chip shots that check and spin. I absolutely love mine, not only in Kansas City, but also in Arizona. Call the pros at Celebrity Greens at 1-888-507-7960 or visit them online at celebritygreens.com. Practice like the pros, or people like me that want to be pros, right in your own backyard.
Hey, Brian Sullivan, Golf Underground, with a little tip for you. If you're looking to buy a new Ford, you have to check out my buddy, Jason Gudenkauf at Lewisburg Ford. They've been saving Midwest Ford buyers thousands of bucks for over 40 years because they do business the right way. They sell everything, check this out, for $50 over invoice. That's simple and cheap. And they win a lot of awards. In fact, they won Ford's President's Award 17 times. That's the top Ford award. And they only give it to dealers with superior customer satisfaction in sales and service. So they know how to take care of customers better than anybody. Now, what these guys know how to do also, keep this in mind, sell trucks. Lewisburg Ford has sold more F-150s than any other Ford dealership in greater Kansas City. That's 2 years running. And last year, they were the number one F-150 sales leader in the entire state of Kansas. So, no hassle. $50 over invoice pricing, unparalleled customer satisfaction, and a huge selection. That's a perfect recipe for selling trucks. So, check out all their inventory and prices online at lewisburgford.com or give them a call at 816-444-2300.
New golf clubs, a big screen TV to watch the U.S. Open, or maybe even a new golf cart that I've got my eye on.
No matter how you choose to spend the savings, if you're looking to put a dent in your monthly heating and cooling bills, the answer may be right over your head. If your attic isn't insulated properly, you're missing out on a prime opportunity to cut costs. Call the certified energy experts at Star Companies, Inc., 816-353-2160, for a free estimate to learn how they can help you save money. 816-353-2160. Or visit StarCompaniesKC.com.
Hey, welcome back. Golf Underground. We're with Chris Schumann, First Team Sports Consulting. If you've been confused about the NIL, L-N-I-L, whatever you want to call it, you're like me. And so this is like going to school. This is NIL 101, and now we're going to get a little bit into 202. But here's my perception a little bit. Tell me if I'm wrong here. My perception is there's a bunch of rich-ass white dudes, part of a university. They own 14 car dealerships. They run the roofing company. They all sit in a room and they've got their cigars and they say, damn it, we're going to buy this championship this year. Phil, what do you think? How much you in for? How much you in for? Right? We'll put our money together. We'll get that. We'll get that five-star, that all, right, that All-American, that McDonald's All-American. And I know a guy. His name is Chris Schumann. You know, he'll help us get the guy. Are there people like that who really just think they can just shovel up with a bunch of their knucklehead buddies and buy a national championship?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I wasn't over.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, that is the way this has. The unfortunate part of this, again, whether these were intended or unintended consequences, that's a little bit of where we are. And so you've got these collectives which have come onto the scene, which in a lot of cases are operated really well. This is not, you know, I operate a handful, more than a handful of these now. And so it's a position that doing infractions cases and compliance work for 20 years, I never thought I would kind of see myself on this side of the coin. But I do think that it has given my school partners a little bit of a sense of comfort in that they know the person here who's dealing with, in the old days, some of their most vulnerable issues, and now trying to help put some order into what is otherwise the Wild West with respect to the collective part of it.
And you probably prevent a lot of crappy contact that they would be getting otherwise. You really are a wall between the rich guy who, you know, who flies on the planes with him and, you know, he ponies up a lot to the Williams Fund, right? And thinks, well, geez, I should have direct access to these people. I've got those seats. I've had those seats for, I bought that seat license. Don't you tell me. If I want to buy a championship, I'll buy a championship. That's just my weird perception.
It's not inaccurate. And the one good thing, I guess, about that person is that they don't have the time necessarily. They've got so much else going on.
Right.
They want somebody to come in and handle this. Okay, so here, we're going to drum up all this money, all this opportunity. You handle it.
Got it.
So at least you get some separation there. Now, we haven't really had a reckoning yet that says, is a football team that is funded to the level that you described that goes 5-7? Is that good enough?
Like an A&M?
As a good example, sure.
Right.
And what's going to happen when that donor comes in and says, well, wait a minute, this isn't what I contributed for, or this isn't where I thought this was going to go. Mm-hmm. That's what we really have to guard against as an industry, because you don't want those kind of forces to have that kind of say or sway.
Right. Boy, I don't know how you prevent that, though. You run out of money. I liken this to the LIV tour, right? I mean, really, it's like it's the LIV or the NIL. You got enough cash right now, but you know, pretty soon you got to start getting a little ROI on your investment. And what's funny to me is, some of these guys will drop a few million bucks, and I sit and I wonder, do they really give a damn about that one national championship while they're tailgating with their buddies? It's wild to me that return to them is worth the investment dollars they put in. Now, I'm not judging it. I just think it's foreign to me.
Completely foreign to me as well. I mean, that's not a circle that I would ever envision myself in. And right. So to look at the amounts that some of these individuals put into these efforts is amazing. And it's the sustainability of it that's the real issue. This is all new. This is all shiny. This is all sexy. However you want to describe it, it's got people's attention, but it's the replication of it, and it's making sure that it exists beyond April. We had collectives shut down between Christmas and now. We had a collective at a high major conference in men's basketball that ran out of money.
Really?
And so, you know, how are you going to replicate filling up? One of the best things in terms of looking at this was I was talking to a coach who's high major, who's going to be joining the Big 12. And we were talking about what to name his collective, because he come up with these pithy kind of names for your thing. And so we were going through the analysis of the collective itself. And I said, well, coach, it's like a coffee pot. You know, when you come into work and the coffee pot's filled, well, that's cool. You just pour yourself a cup of coffee and here goes your NIL out.
Yeah.
The hard part is you're gonna fill the tank of the machine up. And so we're going through all these different names, and you guys ever use bad words on this show?
Which, of course,
he says, well, let's just call it the fucking tank. Because we're just filling the tank up all the time. And I thought, okay, well, that's about as simple as a coach could define it for me. So it really is. It's not what this thing looks like in April of 2023. It's really, what's it going to look like a year from now? What's it going to look like 2 years from now? Are we going to be able to keep sustaining these kind of opportunities for these kids?
Yeah. Well, maybe if the economy turns around.
So like, let's pick on men's basketball. We just had the national championship here in the last week. And UConn obviously played incredible, but of the Elite Eight teams, the final eight, how well capitalized were their collectives, at least that you know of?
Well, I do have firsthand knowledge with respect to UConn. UConn's got two major collectives. I'm a consultant for one of them, and I'm the director of the other. And so UConn men's basketball and UConn women's basketball, for that matter.
Oh, yeah.
Don't because highly marketable.
It's that state? Are you kidding? I'm from Connecticut. Every bar is shut down. Well, not shut down, but the bartender, you can't get a cocktail during a ladies' game.
One of the great things,
it's true.
One of the great things about NIL is if you take football out of the mix, the female athlete does better than her male counterpart does in terms of looking at traditional NIL, influencer type deals, product deals,
really?
Being a spokesperson, the female athlete does better on average.
Why?
If you remove football because of the numbers there that skews the data. But the female athlete does better than their male counterpart.
Why is that?
I think that social media culture and the ability to kind of captivate that audience may be it more than anything else. That's not sexist in terms of the analysis.
No, I have two daughters and I fully agree with
that. that's just what it is. And so, you know, there's a young woman at LSU, a women's gymnast. I mean, she just
killing it.
She just murders this. And it's not collective money. It's traditional NIL endorser, spokesperson, influencer type of relationship.
So you don't have to go through a collective.
You do not.
Got it.
You do not. And the way I look at the collective is, okay, if you sign someone to the collective and you're making a commitment to them on a monthly basis, you're telling that student, okay, this is where we are. This isn't where you can go. Because the other message that I provide is NIL just doesn't happen to you. You have to do something here. You've got to make yourself marketable. You've got to make yourself a brand. You've got to become what separates you from someone else. You know, Marshawn Lynch kind of famously liked Skittles. And so he went to Skittles and he started talking about how much he liked it. And all of a sudden Skittles said, you know what? We're going to make you the spokesperson. And that was an incredibly lucrative deal for him, yeah. You know, as an individual. So that's what the athlete needs to do in terms of traditional NIL.
You know, and that's what we need, just one more motivator for the kids to get on social media. You know? No, it really is.
You're driving them to drink.
Oh, well, all the three of us stodgy old folks are like, social media, it's true, right? And my daughter, this is funny, even for our Golf Underground, we'll post a Charles Barkley clip. We get like 43 likes. My daughter will post some stupid thing doing a dance with a friend, and she'll get like 1,500.
Oh,
so I'm with you on that. Those girls just they're connected. They're a web. It's unbelievable.
That's why we try to post Turtle if we're going to post on social media for the stable. I mean, they don't want to see me or Charlie or
the rest. They're doing what we're stretching. 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah. That's like, tune in remotely from the can?
That's true. Getting my exercise. All right. So what else do you think the listener needs to know about where NIL is now and where they're going? Like, because no doubt people ask you questions all the time. What are we missing here?
That it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. And even though there may be a push to have Congress become involved in this, whether that's successful or not, that doesn't mean that NIL is going to all of a sudden not be part of the landscape. It is going to be here. It's just a question of how do we make sure that collectives have the foresight to have a 3-year strat plan in place that shows how they're going to remain in existence for the betterment of the opportunities for the athletes that they're designed to serve.
Yeah.
It's become part of the fabric of the transfer portal process in terms of kid wants to know, well, what's my number? That's what you hear all the time now. And so while that's distasteful to a degree, you have to give that kid a range that says, you know what, you know, here's what other
examples
in your position have earned. You know, we can look at data from one of my partners that says, you know, I can define for you what a cornerback in the Pac-12 on average
Makes. Yeah.
I can tell you what a point guard in women's basketball in the Big East makes. And so while we're not guaranteeing you, I can at least give the athlete a sense as to what market is.
And I imagine also the template of activity and behavior that that comparison is doing, right? So you can say, okay, here's the point guard who also has 100,000 followers, posts in these 8 platforms, does this, this, this. There's your analogy. Are you willing to do these things also as a point guard in the Big East, right? So it's not only talent, to your point, it's marketability and selling yourself, right? The LSU girl, she's okay. She's a good gymnast. She's not making $1 million because she's a hell of a gymnast. She's a hell of a marketer.
Right.
And
the difference to that analogy is the Paige Beckers or the AZ Foot women at Connecticut in women's basketball. They are elite in terms of their abilities on the floor. They are starters. They are all league kids. They're all American kids. And when you start to look at averages or numbers, the inclusion of them as social media influencers or product pitch people, you know, Paige Beckers has a deal with Gatorade that is a high six-figure deal. And so is it appropriate to include that into any kind of average analysis?
All right.
That another student athlete at, let's say, a women's basketball student athlete at Georgetown who may not have that kind of ability as a marketer, is it appropriate to tell her, well, yeah, the average wing in the Big East,
right,
you know, she's averaging $250,000 in terms of her NIL.
Yeah. Well,
that's not going to be the case for that young person, you know, who doesn't fit the same criterion that
but I think even your explanation of that is logical. I mean, you could throw out 10 examples of all different variables, and you hope a fairly intelligent senior in high school and fairly intelligent parents would understand the, you know, what those variables are and that they do have some impact on it. Now, what do you say to the fan who says the fucking tank is running out of juice? Well, what happens when the fucking tank runs out of juice? Thanks. Susie is going to go to a bigger tank. So this NIL shit, it's screwing up college athletics. It means that there's only going to be 10 great programs in all of these sports because not everyone keeps the tank full. A tank in Tulsa is not the same as a tank in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do you say?
You say that you had 4 schools in the Final Four this year that we just got done, and you would say that only one of them was a true blue blood program.
But we're early. You even said this thing has not flushed itself out yet.
Started
that tank. All right, we've only done this a little bit. 3 years later, now we're going to be, and if there's not enough going in, that tank's going to be empty. Can a Florida Atlantic or a San Diego State, that coffee mug's a lot smaller.
The coffee mug's smaller, but the ability to strategize the tank and leverage it, even with a smaller cup, you still have the ability to get yourself in the game. And so if you structure it the right way, you've seen the mid-year recruiting rankings in terms of signing classes. All of a sudden, you saw teams jump into that up until this point, they weren't part of that discussion.
That's true.
And, you know, a program like SMU all of a sudden finds themselves, I think, 4th or 5th in that grouping of signees from a mid-year perspective. And people start to take notice with that.
What's the commonality there, though?
Well,
an SMU.
Tank's full.
Loaded.
Sure.
Everything's bigger in Texas,
sure. Right? Well, yeah, tuition's $75,000 to $80,000. That's a big-ass tank right there. So, you know, maybe your smaller state schools, they can't compete with an SMU with the cash. And the whole package, meaning the campus, the networking, job opportunities after, you know, those are all things for you know,
if, well, fuck, if you make your $1 million, you don't even need a job.
You get your fans only account.
Spend it all. Spend it all.
Right, Charlie? Get your fans only?
But the messaging is still, you're still trying to work with these schools to understand what's realistic here. The collective at the University of Evansville for men's basketball is not going to be the same as the collective at the University of Kansas. But how can you best leverage your tank in order to create attractive opportunities for kids that are considering transferring or going to Evansville and working with the collective, and then being able to kind of incrementally increase what they're doing from an NIL perspective. So it's relative. It doesn't mean that the Evansvilles of the world automatically jump into that upper echelon, but who's to say that they don't have the ability to galvanize the two of you or Charlie and all of a sudden create opportunities that weren't there before.
Yeah.
And maybe make themselves more attractive in terms of, hey, you know, we got some guys here who really believe in this NIL thing. You know, maybe you want to go ahead and talk to the collective about what the opportunities could be for you.
And this is where I'm curious about the correlation with the transfer portal, right? So with the NIL, a lot of people benefit from it in a good way. Certainly the student athletes, some of these folks, you know, have tough lives. This is a hell of an opportunity to have them get things and live a life that they didn't have before. If it wasn't so easy to transfer to the bigger tank, if there were a few more barriers there, then at least, again, me being a novice in this, I would see that as a, well, you can't jump anyway. You might as well stay at Evansville. You got a nice little gig here. You're making a few bucks. But my God, if Kansas calls me, I'm getting a lot more, and I can go that quick, I'm jumping. And Evansville gets hosed.
That's been the downside. From a men's basketball perspective, that's really been the downside, because the kid who does, the mid-major kid who's all league, now all of a sudden he's marketable and he's getting poached and he's getting contacted even before he goes into the portal. And that's the unfortunate consequence, because that's not good for industry. Mm-hmm. I think you've seen with so many good players that college basketball has flattened itself out to where there are better players across the board.
True.
And it's not necessarily, I mean, we had what we have in the Elite Eight, we had none of the traditional, that's the great argue that Connecticut is, and sure they have championships, but they weren't part of that discussion for some reason.
Yep.
But you didn't have Kentucky, and you didn't have Kansas, Villanova,
Carolina,
and these schools. And I think that's not all related to NIL. I think even before NIL, college basketball is starting to flatten itself out.
Yes.
But you are right in saying if that kid at Evansville has an all-league year and a high major school says, hey, man, come on, our tank is really full, who's to say that that kid's not going to say, coach, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to enter the portal.
And there's no restrictions right now to that?
Not for that one-time transfer, no. No.
Well, KU, on the golf side, KU lost a golfer a couple of years ago who was all-world coming out of school and played so-so and transferred to Oklahoma. And I'm guessing that there was some, you know, he had his reasons. But at the end of the day, they probably got a deeper tank on the golf side than Kansas currently does.
Right.
And so, fortunately but unfortunately, that plays part of it when he makes his decision. So where do you see this thing in 5 years?
Well, you see it in terms of it being the answer to pay for play. So you've had college athletics kind of at this crossroads as to what it was going to look like or be. This was the stopping point here. I think you see this being a part of a larger analysis of what college sports will be. Will it be, you know, a break off where the Power Five conferences will go do their own thing? Will they still be part of the end? Yeah, so there are a whole lot of other things that go into what the landscape of college sports is going to look like. But I think from a analysis of NIL and the collectives, you're going to see those that have approached this as a business and those that have planned it, they're the ones that are going to be around.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are going to kind of ride through the turbulence and be there for the long haul. Some of these that are more reactionary, I think we're already seeing that happen where collectives are folding up or being gobbled up by another, or, you know, and I think it's still too early to tell whether that's healthy or not. Just like any other industry.
Okay. Probably is.
I think to a degree, you can argue it absolutely is. But if that collective is the only tank in town and it, all of a sudden it's gone,
right,
then those athletes are, you know, at somewhat of a disadvantage compared to their counterparts.
You know, that's
maybe where, at a school they have resources.
That's where First Team Sports makes a few phone calls and slides right in there.
There you go.
First tier. Yeah. So how does
the first team?
Let's do it.
First team. Already been done.
So how does, I'm guessing how you grow is through school and client referral. Is that when a new school reaches out to you, or is that due to all your long-term relationships over the years?
It's due to those long-term relationships. I think it's due to having been a presence. It's a philosophy that, you know, Mike Glazier was my partner for years in terms of when I worked with Bond, Senek, and King, and Mike felt as though you let the work product speak for yourself. You don't have to go out and advertise or really chase business in terms of development.
Mm-hmm.
It should be something that folks are going to know you, trust you, and come to you when they've got those kind of questions. And so I've, you know, being on my own for these last 3 years, I've kind of adopted or kept that as a philosophy.
Yeah. Well, and I'm here just hearing you. The training aspect of this is huge. When I say training, your ability to communicate to these three confused parties and simplify a message, as you are doing for us right now, to me, that's the value you're providing. Is in this complexity, you have someone like you who can filter it down and say, this is what you need to know, and you've got somebody on your side. You won't always love my decisions or the information I'm giving you, but you trust that I'm going to give you the insight because it's what I do well, and you don't have time to do it.
It complete, well said, and that's the role that I had before, and that's the role that I will continue to say, is that I'm gonna give you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the relationship. Your earlier part of the statement is really true in terms of the education. I mean, the last week of the regular season, I went to Connecticut, and before a women's Big East game, an hour and a half before tip-off, we had a donor education session, just like what you guys said. Well, what's NIL? Because a lot of these donors are still confused. We had Coach Oriyama in a conference room an hour and a half before tip-off of a Big East game, helping to spread the message about how important this was.
Mm-hmm.
Two nights later, we had a men's game, and Tommy Moore from Coach Hurley's staff was down in a meeting room working with me in terms of educating their donors on exactly what was going on here and talking about the importance of doing it right and the importance of all these opportunities. You wouldn't see that, you know. You guys know coaches.
Yeah.
Coaches, they don't own themselves up, yeah, you know, in that kind of vein. But here with NIL, they realize how important it is and can be. And so they're willing to go ahead and make those concessions on time and on their availability.
You can help them get and retain talent. That's a value.
Should we hit him with the fast break to close it up?
Sure.
Little Sheridan's Unforked. Fast break. He's a hooper.
Yeah, I think you bring it.
Fast break, first tee. All right, are you ready?
Think so.
Fast break. Here we go. The best basketball player you've ever seen in person.
Larry Bird.
Jordan or LeBron?
Jordan, my son would not like my answer.
Best golf course you've ever played?
Cypress Point.
The LSU.
What's her name?
Should that be a T?
They both should have got a technical.
They both should have?
By rule, yes. They both taunted by rule. The Iowa young woman in the first game and the LSU woman.
One game was over, though.
Yeah. We're right. How about that?
All right. My last question. You've got an NCAA Chris Schumann foursome. Any NCAA athlete of all time? Go.
Any NCAA athlete of all time?
You can play with anyone.
Wow. Did they have to be a golfer or anybody?
Anyone. Just your round's going to take longer.
This isn't just a golf show. We talk about a lot of things.
All right, so Joe, here I'm going to change the question.
Okay,
there was a question going around about the Mount Rushmore of sports.
Ooh,
like last month.
Yep.
So
okay, yeah, I remember it.
Ali, Jordan, Kurt Flood.
And George Brett.
And George Brett.
You know what? If he was screw it.
No, George can caddy.
George can clean the noses.
Amazing.
Around the
SEC rebellion.
George is a hell of a caddy. One final question. So we all watched the national championship game. And you have Coach Hurley there, you know, and he's got the hat on backwards. Does he remind you more of Andrew Dice Clay or the Jerky Boys from Jersey?
Great question. I've known Dan for a long time. He and my cousin were on Kevin Bannon's staff at Rutgers years ago. Dan is an interesting soul and a strong cup of coffee.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yeah.
Like Bobby at ASU.
Backwards hat, though, look.
He's like, hey, listen, number five, you know what I'm saying? We got the five, baby. You know what I'm saying? There could be some of that five. I'm like, this is funny. So, all right. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. And listen, as this thing evolves, with your permission, we'd love to have you back and kind of, you know, let's see where things are going, because we don't know. And, you know, we live in a great college community here, and we should all be a little bit more knowledgeable about what you're doing.
So I'd love to do it. You guys live in a great college sports community. It is unbelievable in this town, and how great they support all their programs.
Sure is. All right. Hey, listen, first team sports. If you've got a snot-nosed kid who's just a really good athlete, you make sure you check out First Team Sports. He'll make your kid a multi-millionaire. That's Chris Schumann. You've been listening to the Golf Underground. We'll see you next week.